This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, we talked about this a little bit the other day with Guy Williams. There's been a lot of discussion about the strike that the ILA is on. There's been some discussion about whether or not the president's going to step in. We'll talk more about that in a moment. The impact on the economy, but not a lot of discussion about what got us here and where we are at the present time. But I did want to start with this. I don't know about you, but I don't really like, and I don't think it's a good starting point, when the head of the union conducts himself like a thug and he starts issuing threats out there that it's not only to the companies representing the shipping companies and the ports, but really to you and I, as citizens, taxpaying citizens, consumers in this country. Because he says, you know, and he grabs his neck like in a choking gesture during an interview, and this goes back almost 30 days now. If they're going to be like this, he says, I'll cripple you. I'll cripple you, and you have no idea what that means. Nobody does. Well, I know what it means. And if you don't know what it means, I'll tell you what it means. It means that he is going to reach into every consumer's pocket and take money away from you. Because the longer they're out on strike, the harder it is for us to get critical goods, pharmaceuticals, and the like, and we'll pay more. Because the supply chain is going to be strained, supply is going to go down, demand's going to remain the same, and we know the principles of capitalism and how all this works. Prices go up. So that's the starting point of the union. Very thug-like. If you don't give us and succumb to our demands, I am going to cripple you. And I can't imagine that many people out there really believe that that's a sound approach. It's really ironic. I mean, a lot of Democrats have been very critical of Donald Trump and some of the stuff that he says that they claim is thug-like and is very dictatorial and autocratic. Well, this is emblematic of the same thing, but our president is embracing this guy. Why? Well, we all know why. There's a plus side for them, right? They're big supporters of Joe Biden. They'll accept that threat to the entire economy and community of U.S. citizens and others living in this country that are going to pay the price, because he's going to cripple us. And that's where we start. Going back to what I said before, that's not a good start for me. Because my first response would be, really? You think? But again, it depends on you and I, on whether or not we're willing to accept this thug-like mentality to negotiations, all the while knowing that the folks that are going to suffer the most are not them, not the shipping companies, not the ports, but the consumers. We're going to pay the biggest price of anyone as it relates to this thug-like mentality by this guy Daggett. Now, he may think it's cute, he may think that it's going to yield benefits for him. I'm told that he's, you know, working on a legacy because he wants his son to take his place, and it's very important that he deliver upon this demand. Well, that's great. That's selfishness. That's what I call that. That's not a credible leader. To start out with threats. I thought that conduct of unions went by the wayside 30 years ago, 40 years ago. But obviously not. We're back. We're back to issuing threats. And then the Biden-Harris administration, as spineless as they are standing up for them. And they're willing to embrace them when they threaten our economy and everybody that lives in this country. And all the while, we're talking about Donald Trump and his conduct. But we'll embrace this conduct. And in fact, we'll go so far as to reach out to those representing the ports and the shipping companies and others and say, you know, you really need to offer a strong and fair contract that reflects workers' contribution to the economy. And we've had others like Julie Sue and others encouraging the groups, she is the labor secretary, encouraging the groups to return to the bargaining table and reach a fair contract. She goes on to say, port workers' sacrifices and importance during the pandemic and in helping communities recover from Hurricane Helene weren't fairly reflected in their salaries. Now, these people are so disconnected from reality, it's nauseating. It is absolutely nauseating. You want to talk about what people do and the sacrifices and the importance that they make for communities during disasters? Don't talk about the dock workers, right? Talk about first responders. First responders' salaries do not go up in the aftermath of a disaster. They don't get the benefit of staying home or working from home or going on reduced hours as so many others did. And I mean, this is a slap in the face to every first responder out there. And we better wake up. They are going to talk about their sacrifices. They work in a bubble. They interact with one another, not with anyone else. You make a sacrifice when you're putting yourself at risk. And I don't hear Miss Sue out there in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. And I'm waiting with bated breath to hear her say that the first responder community should be rewarded with salary increases because of the sacrifices that they've made.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
These people are so disconnected, they have no idea. What's also very interesting is they want to share in the record profits, but when there are losses and when the economy's down, they don't want to share in the losses. It's a little ripe for me that when things are going well, folks are able to pay their shareholders, maybe put money aside, rainy day fund, they have the risk, insurance costs going up, weather patterns are changing, ships are losing containers in the ocean on a daily basis. There are a lot of things going on, a lot of things that have to be managed. And then you look at the activity of what's happening on a port. And I don't mean to to minimize this, but I mean, we have to put things in its proper perspective. Maybe we should do a deep dive into the internal operations of the ILA and actually how they manage their workforce before we give anything up. Because it may yield some very interesting results. We've been trying to hold on to kind of a 30s model, right? I mean, everything used to be tagged manually that came into the port. You know, we'd fill out tags and attach it to whatever. You know, they fought and everything was labeled. They actually fought barcoding using scanners, utilizing automation. Why? Because they knew that it wasn't as labor intensive. Maybe we should break up these contracts into a difference between the handling of containers as opposed to handling a break bulk, and talking about separating these issues and negotiating these activities separately. Because one's definitely more labor intensive than the other. One has a higher risk than the other. All the while, people would say, what is the motivation to do that? Well, think about it, folks. For you to keep more money in your wallet. Wouldn't it be nice if there was somebody actually looking out for the consumer for once? For just once? When we have this spineless president sitting there saying, oh, no, I believe in the collective bargaining. It doesn't matter to me how much the consumer gets screwed. I'm willing to sacrifice for these 45 to 54,000 employees over the rest of the country. Really? How about everybody else that's not represented by a union? How about everybody else that's out there making sacrifices far greater than the ILA? Are you representing them too? Of course not. Because they don't vote in a block. And the fact that we would leverage this walkout at this point in time, in the advent of an election, I think it's going to end up blowing up in their face because of the thug-like mentality and the approach that they're going to cripple us. Actions speak louder than words. The only person that has moved in these negotiations at this point in time are the ports and the shipping companies. There was some overtures made that the union would be willing to accept a 61.5% salary increase over the next 6 years. The companies offered 50%, and that's been rejected. And they've decided to hold out for a 77% increase. And even more important than that, no new automation. You know what automation does for you folks? Well, let me connect the dot for you. It creates efficiencies, and it becomes cheaper, and it will be reflected in price, because small businesses and alike that pay less to get their goods here into this country to put on the shelves and provide the services that they provide for you each and every day, their cost structure is reduced. Then the juices of competition flow in a much less impeded way. And who is ultimately the beneficiary of their of that? You, the consumer. They're worried about holding on to positions of an old labor model that was so heavily human capital, relying on human capital. And as times have changed and automation has come in, they have been fighting that tooth and nail every time. And then we have folks that are working as longshoremen that don't work every day because there's not enough work out at the dock. And they were trying to raise a base rate for individuals so that they actually make more for working 2 or 3 days a week. And one has to ask the question, especially of the newer folks that are working in the longshoremen business, why would you hang around if you don't get stable 5 days a week? I don't know about you, but I'd love to know the answer to that question. How does that work in the best interest of your family? The uncertainty that you're not going to get it. The union operates itself on a seniority system. Those that have 25 years, they're going to work every day, and they're going to get overtime. Sound fair to you? It's interesting because they want us to finance this inefficient staffing model that they've engaged in for years. Now, why would somebody want to work out there if they're not guaranteed 40 hours a week? There has to be a reason. Let me guess. Could it be the benefits? Could it be knowing that maybe one day they reach that threshold number of years where they get the gratis and then they're good as gold, so they're willing to take it in the shorts here in the short term, because in the long term it's going to pay back? I'd like to know the answers to these questions. I'd like to know what motivates people to stay involved in a union that can't guarantee a 40-hour work week. They're guaranteeing something. And at the same time, complain that they're not able to support their family. Now, whose fault is that? Should we, as citizens of this country, suffer the consequences of an inefficient staffing model that's been put up by the ILA? I don't know about you, but I say hell no. We'll be right back. Love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.